I come this morning to bring a simple message. God is good. Our God is also the God of refreshment. He demonstrated it in creation. That is, he modeled it in creation. Jesus Christ the Lord in his earthly ministry and walk, death, burial, and resurrection, demonstrated it very clearly for us that God is the God of refreshment. And the nature of our very being requires the need for it, refreshment. You know, God created us for eternity. We're eternal beings. But we start that journey of eternity here in a tabernacle of dust. And in this tabernacle of dust, we need a constant refreshment going on. And God provides that. Without the refreshment, we would not exist at all. He has blessed us with a nature that always requires refreshment. We're dependent on it. Just happened to think, for instance, of so many ways that's going through my mind this week as I was contemplating this, how needy we are for refreshment. Everything we touch requires refreshment. Don't raise your hand, but did you eat breakfast this morning? Why? You ate last night. I'll bet you there isn't a person in here who isn't looking forward to eating as soon as we're done. Or it'd be a rare person who isn't. Because eating once doesn't last forever. We require it, some of us more than others, daily, and so we need this refreshment. How about a drink? You could say the same thing about water. And if you begin to leave any of these things off that we require, we don't do well. We start going downhill real quick. And sleep. We require refreshment. If you do without sleep, it begins to tell on us very quickly, to the point where even we become delusional. Fall apart. Stop and think about our weather. What happens if our weather never changed? What if it was always sunny and beautiful and warm? Well, it wouldn't be long before we'd be living in a desert. Or if it rained and didn't stop, we'd not before long be living in a flood. But God refreshes us. He moves our weather around and blesses us with it. God gives us the gift of refreshment in a thousand different ways. And that's what I want to think on this morning, just for a few moments. God is so good. Let's pray before we start and open His Word. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the refreshment it offers. Thank you, Lord, for being here and for giving us your word. And I pray this morning as we just talk about this aspect of life that you have built into it, that we will be careful with it and use it as you meant it to be used and be a blessing not only to us but others, but also to bear fruit to thy honor and to thy glory. We ask for you to have your way in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we want to say, well, I don't have time to do this and to do that and to get involved in taking care of things, especially when it comes to rest. We get so enamored with our work sometimes that we don't eat right, we don't sleep right, we don't balance out the rest of our life right, and it begins to tell on us. And after it tells on us for a while, then we end up going to the doctor or we end up in bed, or we end up sick anyway and not being what we ought to. I have a quote on at home on one of my books that I use for exercise, and it's from Lord Edward Stanley. Lord Edward Stanley was an English nobleman of the past, but he had said this, that those who think they have no time for bodily exercise will sooner or later have to find time for illness. I thought that was worth remembering, so I wrote it down in my book, and I see it almost every day, and I don't have to say it to myself every day, although it encourages me to be more faithful to do the things that that I need to do. But rest and refreshment is not only needed for us in our physical life, but also in our spiritual life. Rest is required. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later, but I will quote something to you that you could quote right back to me, and that's something Jesus said in Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." And what does he say he'll do? He says, "I will give you rest." We need it, and we often do without it. We rest for your souls, he goes on to say. I might even say that probably means rest for my soul is peace there. And because in our souls, without his without his presence and without his control in our lives, we become troubled. We become torn. We become thirsty. We know there's a vacancy there that just isn't filled, and we are not satisfied. So we have to come to him, for he is the only one who can deal with that part of us. Romans 5:1 tells us that having been justified with God, we have peace with God, doesn't it? Having been justified, having taken care of the sin problem with the Lord and turned our life over to him and accepted his payment for our sin, and dealing with that, and justification gives us a peace with God that man can't know in any other way. Peace with God. No conflict. We're on the same page. We're in step together. He's in control and I'm following. That's peace. That's peace with God that Christ provided, his righteousness. But in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, he goes on to tell us that we not only need peace with God that he provides, but we need the peace of God, too, that is within us when we keep, I'm going to use the term, short accounts with him. I'm always going to be my father's son, but I may not always be on good terms with my father, my dad. Same with the spiritual things. We need to keep close count. We need to stay in fellowship with him. So it tells us in Philippians there that we're not to worry about anything. Don't be anxious for anything. Well, it says be anxious for nothing. How do you like that? I'll bet you I spend more time worrying than I ever should. But he says be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. And he says, if you do that, he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard there is a military term. Stand, it's like standing guard duty. to protect and to keep away the enemy and to make sure that no harm comes. He says, the peace of God, it does surpass all understanding. If you've lived in fellowship with the Lord for any length of time, you know that God gives peace in places that the earth and friends and family and no one else can ever provide. God gives peace, and we can't explain it. It's beyond our comprehension, so we can't put it into words, but we sure can enjoy the refreshment. God is good. And he says he stands guard duty over my heart, over that is, over the desires I have and the things that I love, and over my mind, the way I think and the way I set my values and the things that I think about all the time. He guards those things. If I pray about everything and am thankful for God's intervention in answer to my prayer. So this thing of refreshment, it is in our life in every respect that you want to think about or mention. But it didn't just start. It's been here from the beginning. God is the author of it. And I want to take you to back to the beginning, way back to Genesis. You probably don't even need to turn there, because I'm just going to read a passage you've all heard a million times, and it's Genesis chapter 2. And we've already seen that God has already created the heavens and the earth, the atmosphere, land, sea, vegetation, stars, moon, sun, birds, fish, animals, mankind. You ought to be tired. I would think you'd be tired. But let's read this passage and then comment on it just a little bit. Here's God demonstrating, well, and I'd rather use the term modeling for us, what his refreshment is supposed to be like, what his rest is. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he created from all his, in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. He rested. Said it twice, once in verse 2 and again in verse 3. He rested. Do you really think he was tired and worn out? Judging from our perspective, we would say, oh yeah, he sure was. He must have been. Well, the word rest there is the word ceased. It's not the word for what we do when we get worn out and tired and have to take a break just to get our strength back. That's not what the word rest means in either those two places. Both times the word rest means to cease, means to stop. In other words, he said, I've done this, I'm putting words in God's, this is my words. He said, I'm finished with this. I completed the whole thing from top to bottom. And I'm going to step back like an artist would and say, boy, it's beautiful. I did a good job. I'm enjoying this. It wasn't a thing to get over tiredness. In fact, if we read some other passages of Scripture, like in Isaiah 40, it tells us there outright that the everlasting God, who's that? The Lord, who's that? The Creator. The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary and tired. He doesn't. He was as strong when he finished as he was when he started. But what he did was he gave us a pattern that he built into our creation that we are to follow. It was for our benefit. He made this known. He even included it later in history when he gave the law at the time of Moses. Because there we read in Exodus 31 that God said this, "It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed." Interesting, isn't it? God modeled it for us and then built it right into the law. He provided an appropriate pattern for us to follow that fits our needs of refreshment. Well, that's one aspect. We go back and see how God modeled it, build it into our lives. And then we realize, too, as we look later in history, when his son came and ministered here on earth to man, to us. He had taken on himself flesh like ours. He became one of us. And he would get tired. In the flesh, he would get tired. And the people he was working with would get tired. And we go into the New Testament and we see that physical weariness requires refreshment. And Jesus acknowledged it. In fact, he demonstrated it very, very well. I'm going to take you to a place in Mark, right, where the just pastor went through it back a little while ago. Mark 6, verses 30 through 32. And in this passage, it's preceded by some terrible events, a lot of stress, a lot of trouble, a lot of pressure. They had just learned that John the Baptist had been beheaded and the followers had taken his body and buried it. And they had then gone out and become very, very involved in ministry. Jesus often did this, I'm going to read this passage in Mark 6, 30 to 32. "The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while.'" See, he saw the need for it. "For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in the boat to a lonely place themselves." If we look at the parallel passage in Luke 9, we see that lonely place that they sailed to or boated to was Bethsaida. But that was the quiet place. Jesus saw the need for them to rest, for them to be refreshed, and he took them there. He often did that. Sometimes it tells us he took them into the desert or to the mountainside alone and refreshed them there. Jesus himself practiced this, demonstrated this, because you remember the accounts where at one place they got up, they were staying in a home, and the rest of the apostles got up in the morning, and he was gone. Well, it tells us that where he went was he got up, it says, before sunrise. Now, what would that be for us? This time of the year, we'd have to get up, what, about 5 o'clock? Jesus would get up before sunrise. He'd get up in the dark. And he'd go out to a lonely place where he could be refreshed by talking with, communicating with his Father. And he did this. This was his practice, it tells us. So Jesus was a good example and demonstrated it for us. not only in his own life, but in the life of those, the apostles and those he spent time with. Kind of makes me think, you know, I guess our pastor needs times of rest, don't he? We need times of rest. Everyone needs times of rest. But I wonder if we even give it a thought. We just keep plodding on, plowing on, plowing on, and the result of no rest bears fruit in our life as well. But it doesn't need to. But we all need this refreshment. The last thing I want to mention is the very fact that our soul speaks to us, if you will. Our soul has need of refreshment. And because sin's impact is devastating in our lives, and it requires being removed. 1 John 1:9, we all can probably mostly quote. 1 John 1:9 is a passage written to believers. And in there, it tells us about how we get refreshed when we turn our sins, our failures, our shortcomings over to the Lord, even as believers. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse that away, to refresh us, and forgive us for all unrighteousness. Isn't that an amazing, wonderful provision that God has given to us? There's another good example of it too, and by Peter, when he was given his second sermon after Pentecost, he was surrounded by the people of Israel who were unbelievers, those who had not believed in Christ and his resurrection. And in his second sermon to them, Peter says this. He says, "The things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Times of refreshing. Times of refreshing for those who repent, those who turn to Christ, trust in him and believe in him. They will have times of refreshing. But here he was speaking to the nation of Israel. He wasn't talking and preaching to an individual, but to a nation who had rejected, to that group who had rejected him. And truly, the times of refreshing for Israel, national Israel, is coming and is still future to this day. But it is sure, it is sure, it is sure. Times of refreshing will come. But on the opposite side of that same coin, he was offering to them that times of refreshing was available then to individuals. Times of refreshing for you and me is available today. Times of refreshing are available to anyone who will turn to the Lord. Soul cleansing, as I was mentioning in 1 John 1:9, soul cleansing is refreshing. It's a wonderful lifting of the heart when, you know, things are right between you and the Lord, and it's the slate is clean, the account is kept short, and you're walking in fellowship with him on a daily basis, an intimate relationship. One final thing is the fact that refreshing comes also from Christian fellowship, from one another. True fellowship is that experience we have when this person shares with that one and this person shares with them. When there's a back and forth relationship, an intimate relationship of giving to one another, that's fellowship. Now, we talk about fellowship with, we usually a lot of times think of food, because we have fellowship times, we have, you know, times of sharing food. But fellowship is so much more than sharing food. Fellowship involves things like sharing confidence, sharing needs, sharing blessings, sharing what you know the other person needs. Someone sharing with you what they can see you need. That's fellowship. And true fellowship refreshes the soul. When someone shares with you from their heart, it does bless you. A lot of times, just takes you right out of whatever gloom you're dealing with. So, and one last passage we'll look at is in Romans chapter 15, where Paul was tired. He was worn out. He was in need of refreshment. He had been going through some tough times in his ministry with people, and unbelievers were giving him, you know, a fit. And so he writes to the Romans because he intended to be coming to visit them before too long. And here in Romans 15, verses 30 through 32, Paul writes, and he says, "Now I urge you, brethren." So he's talking about fellow believers, and he's writing to them. "By our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together. Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints." Now he goes on to say, and finish out the thought, "so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company." It's good to be together. It's good to share in fellowship with one another. That's one of the reasons we meet here together once a week. But it's also the reason we meet with one another during the week. We need that type of sharing, that type of refreshment that gives us, and God provides it through believers having this time together. Make refreshment a goal. Maybe you don't think of it often in your life, but give it some thought this week, more than usual, because refreshment is necessary not only for our physical, but for our spiritual well-being. As we started out saying, talking about what Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you refreshment. I will make your..." He goes on to say his burden is light, right? And we need that refreshment regularly. One of our Daily Breads had an article in it about a month ago. I remember reading it, and a quote there made by Gordon MacDonald caught my eye. I loved what he had to say, and it stuck with me, because he said, "We do not rest because our work is done. We rest because God commanded it, and he created us to have a need for it." Interesting. Interesting how God built it. He modeled it for us. He demonstrated it in the person of the Son, and we are to respond to it in our daily living. As we go through this short life in this tabernacle of dust, we will enter, as Jim pointed out earlier, boy, we look forward to that day when all this tabernacling is over with, and we arrive in glory, and all these things for that need constant refreshing, all of those will be things that we remember from our experience here. But God will be our eternal refresher. I remember reading in Revelation, last couple chapters, speaking about how that heaven will have in it a stream that runs from the throne of God, and a tree of fruit that will be everlasting. I think refreshment's going to continue. I think that we have a lot to look forward to, but don't forget, we're here for now, for a little while, and then we're going home. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have about 10 minutes before we start our meeting. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you have given to us, especially in the area of refreshment. During days of trouble and trial and testing, and we see injuries and diseases and all kinds of things that wear us out, only you can refresh us and give us that encouragement that is needed to be faithful through another day. We're grateful for all you do in us, and we're grateful for all you do through us. In Jesus' name, amen.